This is Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria 91.9, KTCB Tillamook 89.5, coastradio.org, wherever you are in the world. And it is beyond gorgeous here. That's all I have to tell you. The sun is shining. The sky is blue. It's 56 degrees. People, including myself, are just walking around town, smiling. And it has nothing to do with all those Halloween parties we attended last night. Glad to have you with us. Squamish, Seashell, New York, L.A., Wyoming, wherever you are in the world. Well, Halloween was yesterday. Día de los Muertos is tomorrow, and there is a celebration right here in Astoria by the Lower Columbia Hispanic Council. I want to play you a tune from a group called, you ready? Charming Disaster, the album Spells and Rituals. Thanks for being here, folks.
Have you seen it in the Glen? A cottage up on chicken legs. Have you seen it in the Glen? A cottage up on chicken legs. Better hope that she ain't home. She'll suck the marrow from your bones. Sweet old lady, she is on sticky winners doing ka-baba yaga. Birch. She might give you what you need. I'ma need a poppy seed. Sweep away, I'll trace a track. You don't want her coming back. Baba Yaga.
Ooh, Baba Yaga.
Country girls are merchant sons. What's the reason you have come? By compulsion or free will, brought here by my spinning wheel. Seeking apples made of gold, as my sister she would know. Baba Yaga.
Ooh, Baba Yaga.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. Well, most of you know that Baba Yaga is actually a Russian folktale that is pretty expressive of this time of year. And we are going to head to, tomorrow, we're going to head to Día de los Muertos, the Mexican celebration. But first, you're going to stop right here at Arts Live and Local with me and my first guests. No strangers to Coast Community Radio. It's the 6x6 Columbia Pacific Heritage Museum hot team of Betsy Millard, who is the executive director of the museum. Very sophisticated. And Bruce Peterson, our favorite hilarious MC and auctioneer, and he wears a lot of hats. And this is an annual event that is great fun and filled with wonderful art, all in miniature. I'm not sure how miniature this year, but I'm going to let them tell you about it. So welcome, Betsy and Bruce.
Thank you, Carol. Okay. Great to be here.
Good. Thanks, Carol. Thanks for having us on.
You bet. So now, is it 6 by 6 or is it 12 by 12 as well? What's going on this year?
We've gotten a little looser over the years. Okay. We started out with it being very rigidly 6 by 6, but that's been 10 years ago now.
Is it?
I know, hard to believe. Wow. And over the years, a number of artists kind of came and said, you know, I've got a great idea, but I'm not sure it really fits on 6x6. So a couple of years ago, we decided we'd double the fun and let people go to 12x12. And we have a couple of issues where it's sort of like, well, it's 12 inches in one direction. And So they do fit. So they tend to be smaller works. We usually have a theme each year that coincides with whatever the fall show is going to be that comes up just after the auction.
Oh, I see. So, I didn't even remember that. Okay.
Yeah, and it gets, again, it's a little loose. We don't like too many hard and fast rules.
I like flexibility. It's the F word in my life, yes. So
one of the things we wanted to be careful about, Carol, is we didn't want anybody telling us they didn't have enough room in their house for the artwork. So we wanted to keep it small.
Right.
So that excuse would fly out the window.
Right, right. Well, tell us, okay, I have My Home Tours. Is that the...
My Hometown.
I'm sorry, that's what it says
it's
right
my
here.
My Hometown. So we thought, so we're doing an exhibit that's opening up at the end of November, November 23rd, I believe it's the opening, called Hometown Teams, which is an exhibit about get this, how sports shaped America. And it's a Smithsonian exhibit.
Really?
So we know it's going to be a wonderful show, and we'll be adding local things to it. But we kind of didn't think too many of the artists would really want to do sports-themed paintings.
Uh-huh.
So we decided we'd focus more on the hometowns, and we got some wonderful stories from a lot of different people coming from different places and locally as well.
We discovered quickly that the whole concept of hometown really resonates with people. Either it fills them with joy or, in my case, sheer terror. But we find that, in general, people really felt strongly about it and consequently produced some really nice work for us. We got 72 pieces this year. We have 20 in our live auction, and the rest is in a silent auction. But we can't thank the artists enough. It's without their generosity, none of this happens, Carol.
So is this an by invitation exhibit, or the 6x6, 12x12, whatever? Or if artists hear about it, I'm thinking in the future, for future years, because obviously
this year's
up on the
is
wall.
Done. And every year, new artists come to us and say, oh, I heard about it, and we'd really like to do it. And very many of the artists have been with us for 10 years.
Yeah.
And we have two wonderful chair people, Wendy Peterson.
Sounds like the same last name.
I've met her.
Yeah. And Diane Schroeder, both of whom are artists. And so they've started sending the feelers out to their communities. And it's kind of grown. It's organic.
It's
organic and flexible. That's us.
There you go. Oh, double your pleasure. It's a delightfully fun event as well as being able to look at all this great art. There's also goodies for eating and drinking and hanging out. And then there's the comedy show. And that's where Bruce takes over.
Well, I don't know if it's a comedy show. But we try and keep it fun, Carol. We try and keep it fun for everybody involved. And we try to put a whole new slant on an auction. We don't want anything stiff and boring. We want everybody to have a good time, and we find the better time they have, quite frankly, the more generous they are, and which is what we appreciate. This is our only really straight up fundraiser for the year, so this is a very important function for us.
You know, it occurred to me, I jumped right in on it, but there are folks who perhaps are not familiar with the Columbia Pacific Heritage Museum, which not that long ago was just known as the Ilwaco Museum.
Yeah, it was about 12 years ago
that
the name was changed, just prior to me starting there.
Okay.
But and it became the Columbia Pacific Heritage Museum to sort of broaden the mission so that people understood that that whole side of the river and is connected to this side of the river in many ways, and a lot of our histories and cultures intermingle. And so we have a great building in Ilwaco.
Yeah,
that is a both a blessing and a curse because it's big and it's older, but it gives us an opportunity to do exhibitions and permanent collection work. And then we have a community room where things take place. And so it's a pretty lively, happening place all year round.
And you have exhibits, mostly traveling exhibits?
Mostly organized by us. This next show is a traveling exhibit thanks to Humanities Washington, who makes these shows available to smaller museums. Our budget is very small.
Yeah.
So we use our collection a lot. And that's one of the things we really love to do, because it gives us a chance to take, we have almost 30,000 historic photographs in the collection.
Wow. Wow.
And just utilizing those images and then all of the other things, the artifacts and things, can help us tell some really important and I think really interesting stories. We have so many here.
And you've also featured, like just a few months ago, you were featuring Joseph Knowles, whose paintings of from Venice are the walls of the Liberty Theater.
Yes, and we have the studies for those, which are just beautiful.
And he was
watercolors.
A local artist. That was the main
point. Washington side of the river.
Absolutely.
Just down the street from Bruce's place.
And an amazing character. So not only did the museum show us his artwork, but told us about
his
man and his life, which was just as fascinating as the artwork itself.
Yeah, and that's the thing that's so exciting about this museum is you have different exhibits, but it's always linked in somehow or other. Even when you have a traveling exhibit, you somehow link it in with local.
We always make it local.
Which is great.
Yeah.
Now, the good news is that tomorrow night's going to be a fabulous affair, 6x6 or however many sizes there may be, my hometown. The bad news for some of you out there is
it's sold out.
It just sold out.
It just sold out.
So we had scheduled a while back, and I can't complain when an arts event sells out. That's great.
Well, our only caveat is we'd love to see everybody get a chance to come, and so please, get your tickets early. Try it next year.
Yes.
Remember, if it's something that interests you, please get your tickets early
and
come.
Good point.
And I'm certain you will enjoy it.
So in the meantime, where should people go to see, get information about the Columbia Pacific Heritage Museum?
Well, you can go to our website, which is ColumbiaPacificHeritageMuseum.org. And actually, if you go down to the events section, there's a 6x6 category, and you can see all of this year's artwork online.
Okay.
Bruce takes incredibly beautiful photographs of the work, and that's one of the really wonderful things.
Well, now, here's something that you do every year. You have this telephone there, and you have all kinds of people calling in. The only problem is the telephone doesn't seem to be attached to anything.
Well, no. You've got that all wrong.
Can people put proxies in?
No. And we've expanded a little. Oh. We're getting extraterrestrial communication this year. And we've Carlos also informs us that she can get text over the universal time continuum curve. And so we know that we're going to be getting a lot of bids from outside the room. So the people in the room, it's going to be competitive.
You're getting a sneak peek at some of the themes
yes,
for tomorrow.
Yes, exactly.
But yes, sometimes people do send us a proxy bid.
That's what I'm wondering.
And so if you called the museum and if you saw something that you really, really wanted to have, even if you can't be there, you can call and say, I will go up to X amount.
So can people do that this afternoon or tomorrow?
We're open. We'll be answering the phones till 4:00 today, and then tomorrow from 10 to 4.
Okay.
And we only bid up as the bids go up. So if you tell us you're going to spend $100, we won't start the bid at $100 by any means.
Right.
So
if you
see something, and give us a call. The number is 360-642-3446.
Okay. So folks, you can, even though you can't be there, you got Bruce's touch of what I mean about the comedy act. But the stand-up comic here, he's looking, not me, Carol, ColumbiaPacificHeritageMuseum.org. check out the 6x6, and as Betsy says, if there's something there that you love, call up 360-642-3446 before the event. And because the lines apparently will be jammed with extraterrestrial beings.
Universe will be full. And one more shout out, Carol. I mean, we thanked all the artists, but there are a lot of businesses up and down the peninsula that have given us gifts to auction off or are helping us with food and beverages. And a huge thanks to all those folks that help us out.
Okay. And even if you don't get to take part in any of this, do be sure to check out this wonderful museum right on the Washington side of the Columbia Pacific region. It's 115 Southeast Lake Street in Ilwaco. It's a delightful place. Thank you so much for coming in, Betsy Millard, the executive director of the Columbia Pacific Heritage Museum. And Bruce Peterson. Bruce, what is your official title, please?
Oh, that would be
I'm Wendy's husband. I do what I'm told, Carol. That's really I'm retired now. I don't have an official title any longer.
We refer to him as our beloved auctioneer.
Okay, and Bruce also happens to be a fabulous professional photographer. But he's retired, but he still takes pictures. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much.
And while I'm mentioning photography, I will say that this Thursday night is the opening for the new photographic exhibit at the Royal Nebuchadnezzar Gallery, Clatsop College. That's 6 o'clock this coming Thursday, the 7th. Michael Mathers with his show Workspaces. And there will be a lot of familiar places for those of us in the region and some wonderful photography, of course. Thanks for being here, folks. Stay tuned. I have a piece from Horse Feathers, this wonderful album called Appreciation. Horse Feathers is putting on a concert at the Liberty Theater tomorrow evening, and it's going to be terrific. And you can show up at the door early, or you can, the concert is at 8, and you can go online to libertyastoria.com. Taylor Kingman and Barna Howard are opening, and then the Horse Feathers come on. And Liberty Theater is at 12th and Commercial, so if you're going to just show up at the door, get there by 7:30 latest. Or 7:45 latest, and then go online, libertyastoria.com. Here they are, Horse Feathers.
Some color came from gray. It's gone from worse to good than great. It's something realigned. Was it destiny, not fate? If the end was prophesied, a plot was ill-conceived, with a message not defined, its meaning was received.
Did all of the others don't belong? I think we know, that we were born.
Destiny and not fate. If the end was prophesized, the plot was ill-conceived, the message not defined, its meaning was received.
All of the others don't belong. I think we've
known all along that we were born.
Justin Ringel, and it's a good-sized band, Nate Crockett. I'm going to let you come on over. Oh, boy, even Jen's on this one, on this album. Come to the Liberty Theater tomorrow evening to hear Horse Feathers. Again, the concert is at 8 o'clock, and get there early, unless, even if you have your ticket, get there early, because I think it's open seating. Not quite sure, but that is helpful. This is one of our local, sort of, these days, bands that we are so happy to have. This is their sixth album, too, Appreciation, and you can read about the transition in the band as well. Well, speaking of transitions, I've got a couple of people here who, well, they've been related to Coast Community Radio forever, and I just learned something new about one of them, actually, which I didn't know, and that would be Ron Maxted. Hi, Ron.
Hi.
Glad to have you here. Now, Ron,
thank you.
You're not on the radio very often, are you?
Been on a couple of times.
Couple of times, okay. But what I just learned, tell us what you just mentioned about this fabulous room.
Well, I
we're
built
in.
The counter that you're using a long time ago.
Yeah. Like, do you have any recollection when? I think we've been here since 1987-ish.
Yeah, I think it was in 1990. Four or something like that.
Okay. Yeah. So, well, thank you very much.
Oh, yeah.
Because I never had any idea.
We should put a little plaque right there.
All right.
You know, we might do that. Thank
you. That's what we remember.
And that was the voice of Rebecca Rubens, who is the founder and with others the conceiver of this radio station, community radio station, Coast Community Radio. So,
you're always very generous, Carol.
Well, that was the Rebecca Rubens. Now we're here with Agnes Field. I forgot.
That's okay.
Multiple personalities. Yeah. It's wonderful. Our community is so supportive, as we've just learned recently with another one of our community venues. But Ron and Agnes are here because, I'm going to let Ron tell you how this came about, because I'm not even sure, but they have been involved in a logo contest for the Astoria Warming Center. And the Warming Center it's not a gift. I was going to say a gift to the community, but really what it is an important integral part of this community. And there are many people listening, not listening, who live here, who have been a part of the Warming Center in one role or another, receiving, giving, donating. And on November 9th, there will be a reception, am I right, at the Warming Center?
Yes, we're going to have a logo contest going on right now, and we've just extended our deadline, and that's November 6th to receive artwork.
Okay, so that's Wednesday, this coming Wednesday.
November 6th?
November
6th. Yes,
calendar.
And so at the art walk on November 9th, we're going to have an open house, and we're going to have an art artist reception, and we're going to have the art judged at that time to pick the winner. We have a $200 prize for the winning entry, and it's going to be for our logo. So
the logo hasn't been chosen yet.
No, it hasn't.
It won't be chosen until that evening.
Yes.
November 9th.
Yes.
That's exciting. Mm-hmm. Okay. How did this come about, Ron? What's the idea of having a logo for the Warmings?
Well, we would like to have, we have a lot of supporters in Astoria, and we'd like to have a logo sticker that we could maybe put on the windows mm-hmm. of the various shops that mm-hmm. support us, and restaurants have been very generous. And so this be part of our campaign, fundraising campaign, that will start after the third week of November.
Okay, let me back up a second and ask you, about the Astoria Warming Center itself, because it was talked about it's been talked about forever, but it's actually only been in operation a few years. Five years already.
Yeah. We're okay, moving into our fifth year.
Okay. And the location?
Is at 11th and Franklin. It's in the basement of the First United Methodist Church.
So the entrance is on 11th.
On 11th. Okay. The double doors on 11th. And Methodist Church has been very supportive, and it's one of their outreach programs that they are doing, supporting us in this work. So they've been an integral part of this whole process.
And when will the Warming Center itself actually open for business for...
November.
A day like today, yeah. I'm thinking, oh my goodness, how does that
it
work?
It wouldn't be open because we have a restriction that we cannot be open unless it's 37 degrees or, you know, wind chill is mm-hmm. taken in
consideration
to account. Yeah. So we'll be open from November 15th through March 15th, weather permitting.
Okay, so 37 mm. degrees, including wind chill. And what about rain?
I believe there's some kind of factor of that, too.
Not to mention snow, but if it's snowing, it's obviously cold enough. Okay, now, Agnes Field, who is involved with the Astoria Visual Arts,
right.
how mm-hmm. did... ABA get involved.
Ron contacted me because he was interested in getting artists to participate in the logo contest, and I thought it was a great idea with organizations to work together and help increase the awareness for the Warming Center, especially during the Art Walk, where we get mm-hmm. people to go out and come into the Warming Center and see where it is and what people do and what an important part of the community it is, because there really isn't anything else around that is that centrally located mm-hmm. and that serves this purpose. And I just thought it was such a great opportunity. So I basically have only been, you know, supporting Ron by trying to get artists to submit and to put together a poster and posting it, and also help get together the judges to make the selection of the piece that will be awarded the money.
So what, I forgot to ask, but either one of you can tell us, what does it mean to create a logo? What do they have to bring to you by November 6th or send you?
Some expression, and for the artist, it's a challenge to express compassion for our fellow man.
Person.
Sharing the abundance that we all have, and yet we have these people sleeping on our street.
Mm-hmm.
And so to express that in a logo, so it's a challenge.
Then draw it on paper? Can they send you an email?
It's a 12 by 12. We're asking for a 12 by 12 drawing or painting.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be turned in at the church from 4 to 6 on November 6th. Or if they contact me, and you know, we make arrangements to pick it up.
Okay.
And so Ron included that information on the poster that we post on the Astoria Visual Arts website, which is Art in Astoria, which has quite a few members. And then the poster is available around town. And I'm sure Ron will give you Gmail account
contact
or a phone number.
What's AVA's? Can anyone go to the AVA site and look at the...
Anyone can join Art in Astoria. It's an open public site. And basically look at the postings. Anyone can post.
Is that a Facebook thing?
It's a Facebook. Site.
Okay. But if you're not on Facebook, you can still be involved.
You can check out our website, which is www.astoriavisualarts.org. And you'll probably be able to get some information there. And I haven't checked it lately, so don't hold me to it, but I'll make sure it is there.
Yeah.
And actually, you can go to Astoria Warming Center, and we have a Facebook page also with this information
So tell us more.
One thing that I'm very excited about, Charlie McKinsey, who is... he's a fisherman, he's a musician, he's also homeless, chooses to be homeless, but he is presenting, he'll be playing the piano and playing his guitar and with his own compositions and some that I've heard are just wonderful stuff.
Okay. Ron, is the, I've heard so many different words, is there a favored term like houseless or unsheltered or homeless that you know of? This is called the Astoria Warming Center, so we don't have to worry about choice of words.
Yeah, well, homeless is really, it's kind of a derogatory term, it seems like.
I don't know.
Without house, without a home. Without home, it's maybe better, you know. It's,
houseless or unsheltered.
Yeah,
but,
unsheltered.
So give us your contact information, Ron.
It would be Ron Maxted, RONMAXTED at wwestsky.net.
Okay. And is there a phone number, too?
503-338-9153.
So if you're out there hearing this, then you can give Ron a call or give us a call here at the station. I'll have this, and we can let you know how to contact and become part of this. Because you will need to get it in by the 6th, but the judging doesn't happen until the 9th, so you still have a chance. Rebecca, who's doing the judging? Are you involved in that as well?
I'm involved with part of the judging, and there'll be another person from Astoria Visual Arts, and then also people run from the Warming Center, and maybe a couple of other people from the Warming Center board.
We're going to have the public is going to have an opportunity to vote also.
Cool.
So we're going to have 4 votes that will be coming from the judges and the choice that the public has picked.
Nice. So that's another reason to go, even if you're not one of the artists involved, is we get to vote on the logo. Nice.
And you'll have a chance to see exactly what we have, how we operate. And,
right. If you've never been there.
It's a great opportunity.
I think.
And you'll get to see some art and hear some music.
Right. And see what our community is doing to include, to be more inclusive. Basically.
And they'll have volunteer opportunities to sign up for.
Yeah, absolutely. And that includes middle of the night for those of you who, like me, are night owls. It's a good shift. So, Rebecca, did you have something to add?
No, I don't want to. I really don't want to change the subject, but I did want to mention that Astoria Visual Arts has a fundraiser coming up in December 14th, which is a second Saturday art walk, which is called the Artful Jumble. And we'll be looking for artful donations from the public, and we'll also be featuring some local art. It's a cash and carry show, and we are asking people to go in your attics and look in your cellars and come up with something that you find interesting that we could hang on the walls primarily.
Nice.
Sell.
Nice.
To do a fundraiser. It's one of our fundraisers, yeah. December, and then one in June. So
it's a great way to let go of some things that you care about, but that you care about
support,
and don't want to get rid of somehow.
Support a nonprofit.
Support a nonprofit and know that the people who get this stuff care about art, too. So that's great. Okay, folks.
Thank you so much, Carol, letting us talk about this.
Thanks for your support.
Thank you. Thanks for so much. Ron Maxted, who created the desk right here at KMUN, and Rebecca Rumens, who created the station, together are here speaking about the Astoria Warming Center, which affects each and every one of us who live in this region. So call me, 503-325-0010 after the show if you need to catch some more of that information. Thanks. Okay, got some music for you from John Koontz, who is playing as part of the Stormy Weather Festival. Holy cow, all over Cannon Beach, all the galleries, venues all over the place, music, art. It's a fabulous festival. It's happening starting tonight, this weekend, and tonight the Portlanders, including Kate and Steve and Mick, are all playing at the Coaster Theater. Tomorrow evening is the for their performance, Marv and Rindy Ross and John Koontz and Cal Scott and Denny Dixby. Have a listen. Stay tuned. Thanks, folks, for listening.
Fathers, they had pride. It wasn't perfect, they fought and died. 200 years of struggle for equality. Now we look more like a monarchy. The halls where justice did once reside has been sold out and replaced with lies. It's all money, power to the few. How long until they come for you? And you say that it can never happen here. And you say it can never happen here. Burn habeas corpus, tear up the writs, rubber stamp Senate of hypocrites. Those new detention camps weren't built for show. Posse comitatus is next to go. And you say that it can never happen here. And you say that it can never happen here.
Well, just remember that, folks. They say it can never happen here. I'm sure we've all said it at some point, but it can. And in some ways, it is. Pay attention. And right now, I'm going to ask you to pay attention because for some music that's entirely different from what we were just listening to, I have David Robinson here. He is a jazz pianist, along with many other things. And his son, Thomas Robinson, is a professional nature photographer. And together, they are putting on a show called Cascade Colors and Color. And, oh, that is awfully pretty. It's happening tomorrow evening at 6 p.m. at the Cannon Beach Community Church, free and open to the public, and it's a benefit for Helping Hands. And the timing is right because, wow, we were just talking about Helping Hands. But also it is, as I've mentioned, the Stormy Weather Festival. So you are going to have quite a few people in the audience, aren't you? Hi, David.
It's good to be back with you, Carol. Thanks
yeah,
for having me on.
You bet. So did you pick this weekend purposely because there's going to be masses of folks?
Well, I've been there 26 years, and we try to celebrate the Stormy Weather Arts Festival every single year at Community Church. And we've put this similar show like this on for the last 3 years on the first Saturday of November, a photo show that is highlighted with jazz piano music backing it up. So,
wow. Now, is this... okay, first of all, we need to also tell people that the Cannon Beach Community Church has a fabulous piano, eh?
It does. A Model B Steinway 7-foot yeah. grand piano. It's a 2008 instrument that we bought 3 years ago, 2 years ago now, in 2017. And this show is part of our fall Steinway Piano Concert Series, the fourth of six concerts. And I just wanted to highlight on November 13th at 7 o'clock, it's a Wednesday night, Simon Karakalidi is the next rising star brought and sponsored by the Portland Piano International. Mm. And he is an up-and-coming superstar pianist, and he's going to play an all-classical concert. So that's coming up. This show is the fourth of six. Jennifer Gutenberger is going to close this concert
Season.
Series out in December. So
wonderful.
Anyway, so
you've been doing a terrific job with that. Did the piano kind of kick-started?
It did, yes.
I mean, you've been doing stuff, but that sort of said, oh boy, we got to show off now. So you've been doing
a
great job.
It's a marvelous instrument.
So tell us about this music that you're going to be playing to support your son's art.
We got this idea, Thomas and I, that we would love to do a collaborative art show that goes around the color wheel. So the very opening 6 minutes of the show, I'm going to playing on all the white keys, and he's going to be showing all white photos, which is the combination of all colors.
Wow.
And he will go all the way around the color wheel. He's going to break out of the white into light blue, going to dark blue, into green, into yellow, into orange, brown, into red, pink, purple, indigo, and dark blue, and back into black. And I'm going to finish the show on the black keys. So he takes hundreds and thousands of nature photos, and he's keyed them all so that you will see the main dominant feature of each image in that section will be according to that color going around the color wheel. And I play music according to that. I don't know if you've heard of musical synesthesia, but I'm a synesthete.
What does that mean?
I'm going to read to you from Oliver Sacks' book. This
Real
is
fast.
Called Musicophilia.
Okay.
And here's what Oliver Sacks writes. Of all the different forms of synesthesia, musical synesthesia, especially color effects experienced while listening to or thinking of music, is one of the most common and perhaps the most dramatic. We do not know if it's more common in musicians or musical people, but musicians are, of course, more likely to be aware of it. So it's the experience when I play in the key of G, I experience green. When I play in the key of E flat major, I experience golden.
So you have had this facility all your life?
Yes.
Or what? I see. So I have heard of it. Once you reminded me what it was.
It's blending two senses together, and one sense calls upon the other, and they interweave. And so when I hear music, especially when I play music, colors come to my mind. I experience it in texture and in color. So all the tunes I'm playing, you can see I put the keys in the program there. And, you know, I'll play a song I wrote called Shadows, and it's in the deep, dark brownish purples, and it's in the key of B flat minor, which seems deep brown, dark dark purple to me.
So is all the music original?
Most is.
Okay.
And I play in this style. It's ambient, a landscape, emotive music in the style of an Italian composer whose name is Ludovico Einaudi, who is a little older than I am, in his late 60s. The guy in the U.S. side that would be similar to that would be George Winston, which is probably more familiar with him, and he's played here at the Liberty. So anyway, that's the style. It's landscape, emotive, ambient, improvisational music that I write themes and play in these styles, and it pairs up with Thomas's nature. Now, Thomas is going to be showing, it's going to be portrayed on an 8-foot big screen, and The screen will be divided up into four sectors, and he will be also doing videography. So there are videos and still nature photos, all color themed, and all from our Pacific Northwest, from the coast and from the Cascades. Thomas now lives in Bend with his wife, and so he has a lot of beautiful images from the Central Cascades of sunsets over the sisters reflected in lakes, and just beautiful images. So,
how long is the concert?
It'll be 65 minutes.
65 minutes. Yep. Okay, but who's counting? It sounds fabulous. Thank you so much for coming in. Thanks for the excitement of putting this together. Sounds like it needs to be. Well, of course, he doesn't live here these days. Yes. So,
and we're just glad to be able to support a really wonderful organization, Helping Hands, to help them help the needy in our community, help them to find jobs and to get back into meaningful, purposeful living. So we had one other previous concert this fall with Stephen Bias, where all that supported Helping Hands and able to send a beautiful gift to them to do the good work that they do to help people in our community.
It all comes together, doesn't it?
It does. So thanks for you willing to come and support and come on out tomorrow night.
Hope tomorrow evening, that's the 2nd of November, 6 p.m. at the Cannon Beach Community Church. That's 132 East Washington. And it's a perfect time, too, because you can then still indulge in all of the art and perhaps the other concerts that are going on.
Yes, there is a concert at 7:30 at the Coaster, and you'll be able to make that concert if there's still tickets available. This is the 32nd annual Stormy Weather Arts Festival that we're part of, and
that
we're glad to be a part of that.
It's wild and
a lot
crazy.
Of fun. Yeah. Thanks for having me
Thanks
on,
so much,
sure
David.
With you.
David Robinson on jazz piano, his son Thomas Robinson with fabulous photographs.
See you again, Carol.
You bet. And some more music from Horse Feathers, and then I've got a troupe of Astoria High School thespians coming in. Stay tuned, folks.
Out my window in the alley, there's a figure. Memory on their minds. They were caught red-handed, wasting time.
Feathers at the Liberty Theater tomorrow evening, and you can get your tickets at libertyastoria.org, libertyastoria.com. Sorry, folks, the brain's fried already. Check it out, Liberty Theater. It's 8 o'clock concert with Taylor Kingman and Barna Howard opening, and if you get your tickets at the door, which can work out very well, but get there early. Don't forget. So, you know, when I was a kid, my family, I have two older brothers. Hi, brothers. They and I and my parents, I think my parents played this game too. We all played some of those board games that kids play. And one of them, my favorite, was Clue. And guess what? In the studio right now, I have four Clues. Well, actually, I have three young women and one young man, but they're all somehow involved in Clue. Clue on stage. It is opening tonight at the Astoria High School auditorium. So I really appreciate you all coming in. Thank you for being here. So what is the story? I have never seen Clue on stage. How does it work? Go ahead and get close to the microphone.
So I don't know if it's true for all board games, but I know the one that we have, in the instructions, there's kind of like a little backstory, and it's about the butler and these six guests that come to Body Mansion. I think the stage production is somewhat based off of that backstory. I mean, it has to be, because it's based off of the character.
You gotta get right into it.
It's directly adapted from the film from 82, I believe, somewhere in the 80s, starring Tim Curry.
Tim Curry, yeah.
Okay. I don't remember any backstory in the Clue that we had, but that was like 65 years ago. This is really old stuff.
I think what it said is it was just like six suspects come to Body Mansion on a dark, stormy night or something like that, and then they introduce each of them. So that's kind of where they got the characters, I think.
And then do you have things like the wrench and the rope and
the
green room and all those places? Oh, my God. Yeah. I love that stuff. I may see you tonight, actually. Not to make you nervous or anything. So what part are you doing? Or are you teching? Or what's your role?
I'm playing Miss Scarlet.
This is Maren Donahue.
Yeah, I'm playing Miss Scarlet.
Miss Scarlet. Mm-hmm. Okay. Will you be dressed appropriately?
I have. That was a conversation that was had. No, but it's a really great scarlet red dress.
Okay.
I love it.
Oh, wow. Sounds wonderful. Andrea, how about you?
I will be playing the motorist and the FBI agent as an ensemble woman.
What was the first thing you said? The what?
The motorist.
The motorist. Oh, okay, that's new to me. Okay, that's part of the play as opposed to the board game, I think. And also the
FBI agent.
Oh, my. Oh, my. Okay, this is getting better and better. Azaria, what are you doing?
I have the role of Mrs. Peacock.
Okay.
The God-loving woman.
And what will you be wearing?
I have a suit. It's like a pencil skirt that goes down to my knees, and then like a coat, and it's all one color, and I think you can guess what color it is.
But no feathers?
I actually have some peacock feathers on my gigantic hat.
Oh my God, this is going to be so fun. And how about you, Sean?
I'm Wadsworth the butler.
I see. And are you dressed as a butler? Will we recognize
yep.
you?
Suit and bow tie.
Okay, suit and bow tie. That's pretty similar. So has this been fun? Did you guys experience this game before you got involved? Get close to the mics when you talk back. You can all talk at once, even. It's okay.
I personally grew up playing this game. So
yeah. Okay.
So actually being in the play is a whole new experience.
Yes, I'm sure.
I don't think I grew up with the game, but I definitely kind of grew up with the movie, because my mom was a big Rocky Horror Picture Show fan, and so I kind of grew up with Tim Curry, and
I see.
Okay. Him being like Clue and stuff, I kind of grew up with the movie.
Neat.
And I did. I grew up with this game, and
I had no idea that it was still played.
I'm a very serious Clue player. None of my siblings will play with me because I always win.
has that helped you or no?
No.
And yeah, so Sean. I haven't played in years, but the reason I remember it is because back when I was younger, so I have two brothers, and so my father was in the Coast Guard for a long time, so he didn't want us to move us around all the time, so he spent a lot of time in California while we stayed with my mother at the house. So every once in a while, my mom would try to put on a game night just as something to kind of hold us together while we were driving her insane. And so, yeah, that's why I remember clearly, because that was one of the things we get together with every once in a while. But I actually wasn't familiar with the movie until I heard about the play.
Uh-huh.
And so I actually...
Really?
No, so I actually saw the movie, like, the day before auditions.
Whoa, okay.
And you got the main role.
I was not familiar with Tim Curry's work until then.
So let me ask you, are you folks all seniors? Or...
No, I am the only junior, so everybody's going to be graduating this year.
Oh, and then,
I am the one that's going to have to.
So wait a second. Are you saying that everyone in this play is a senior except you? No.
No. Okay. So we have a few juniors, which is what I am. So I will be a senior next year, and then we also have a few sophomores, but
freshmen.
Do we have a freshman? Oh, yes, we have a couple freshmen, but the majority is seniors, and so I'm going to have to be pulling my weight next year.
Okay, so here's the deal. You folks need to really recruit before, you've got, what month are we in now?
November.
November. Okay, you still have time. Please get out there and recruit those youngsters, because... as you know, theater, well, maybe you can tell me, why is theater so important to you? Sean, why don't you start?
Well, so I'm a naturally rather reserved person, but the thing is, okay, sorry, I had to decide.
You are.
Yeah, the thing is, so, like, but I'm also very much a thinker, so I get very, very cluttered. Azaria has all these nonverbal responses.
I am not.
So, just talk for yourself. We'll let her talk for herself.
It's all right.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So my head, I get very cluttered. So I really need to have some sort of outlet for expression, just to just kind of unravel. Otherwise, I'll just slowly drive myself insane. So
okay.
That's really it's a good
like
resource
it.
For me.
I like it. That makes a lot of sense to me. Who else wants to pitch in? Why is theater important?
You go.
Well, I know that I've always been like 100% extroverted as a kiddo and like growing up into like high school, especially public high school. And so theater was a way for me to have the family outside of my family, you know, and that theater and especially musical theater, because I would eventually like to go on to secondary school for music education to become a music teacher and a theater teacher. So it's just something, it's being able to put yourself into a different world, essentially.
Yeah, definitely.
And
definitely.
Being able to not be yourself for a second. And I know that I personally love to do that, because being a junior, especially right now, taking like honors and college level classes, it is so stressful. Mm-hmm. And it puts you in a like a bad place. And so when you get to do theater, it opens you back up, and it makes you see the hope, and it makes you see the beautiful in the world.
So far, folks, whoever's listening, even if you're an adult, make sure you tell your kids this. These are two fabulous reasons. We don't have much time. Go ahead and tell us. That was Azaria. Andrea?
I personally grown up like with music and with acting, because my grandparents taught me that exploring different activities is important. And so like back when I lived in Portland, I thought it was like fun, and my first ever actual whole musical I've done was Shrek. So
so iconic.
Yeah.
So it was like a game changer for me, because here I am always like doing music as in like the violin. Mm-hmm. And when I changed into actually acting with music, and I started enjoying the acting part a little more.
Great. Okay. And Maren?
Well, I've grown up doing this kind of thing. I've loved it since I was little, and I think part of that is that I love a good story. I love being part of the storytelling, and I think that there is so much to gain as an individual from performing. Mm-hmm. There's so much you can learn about yourself and about other people from putting on these other personas and other characters. And there's so much that you can give. I think that there is so much hope to be found in any show, and especially for me because I'm a big musical theater lover.
So how is it, because in addition to all these individual reasons, you folks have to work as a team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's probably a life lesson as well.
It definitely can get difficult.
Yeah, and you have to compromise, and you have to, you know, you can make faces and stuff, but you do. Okay, we are out of time. Folks, don't miss it. These are experienced and advanced thespians from Astoria High School. Catherine Lacaze is the director, I presume.
Yes.
And the show opens tonight. Thank you so much for coming in on your opening day.
Thank you for having us.
Tonight and tomorrow night, and then next weekend, Friday and Saturday night, 7 p.m. at Astoria High School. And it's easy to find. If you live here, you know where it is. Get there a little early so you can get your seat and enjoy the show, Clue on Stage. Break your legs.
Thank you.
Okay. And I do want to give you a quickie on what's coming up. I know I'm out of time, but I need to remind you, Stormy Weather Festival all weekend, Manzanita Music Festival, 8 o'clock tonight, Dia de los Muertos, at the White Clover Grange, Labor Temple, Know Your Rights, a tribute to the Clash, Hall Party, Riverbend Players, they were here last week, they are opening tonight.